Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
Glad to be checking in and catching up with you today. We're doing one of our More Than Mom episodes right now, which is when we pop into your feed on a seemingly random Sunday, but it's not as random as it might seem on your end. And we just talk about what's going on with us, maybe some fluffy stuff, some fun stuff. This particular time, now, first of all, the More Than Mom episodes are supposed to be my domain. Like, I'm supposed to do the planning. But I didn't even realize that's what we were doing today. So this tells you kind of where we are in the late summer situation, right? I had no idea what was going on.
The wheels had fallen off all of the vehicles.
But the really funny thing is the wheels had fallen off so hard that you also didn't know I was supposed to be planning this one. Then you freaked out because you didn't have a topic, but it was actually my job to have the topic.
I mean, this is just how behind we got. So right. Just a little behind the scenes here, guys. We usually record once a week. We try to record 2 episodes at once. Then we're staying on top of our schedule. And if we miss a week or something, it's usually not a problem. And we did so great this summer, Megan. Like we not only put out all of our episodes on time, but we also gave ourselves a full 2+ week recording break, which meant doing a whole bunch ahead of time.
Like
we worked with our sound engineer, and Kelsey helped us. Like, so it's almost like we got through the hardest part of summer, and then I just like couldn't keep it together as we limped across the finish line. So we are recording this on my kid's first day of school, and I went on Instagram stories. It's now yesterday, but you guys who saw it will remember. And I said to you guys on Instagram, I was like, so, hey, we're recording 2 episodes tomorrow and I got nothing. And Seeing the responses was really fun. Of course, we always love getting episode ideas from you guys. But the thing about this one, it was like,
we need them.
We can't require much brain power or advanced planning. Right. It's just got to be. And so we loved everything that came in. But I have to give a specific shout out to Kaylee, who said, why don't you guys just have like a casual catch up from the summer? And I was like,
that sounds so fun. Yeah.
So it turns out maybe we don't have to come with a perfectly polished, fully tips packed episode every time.
Maybe not. But then also Jamie had another great idea.
Yeah.
Very apropos to talk about procrastination, because that's what we did.
Yes.
We procrastinated. So we're going to talk about both.
Yes, we are. We're going to do like just kind of catch everybody up on how the summer's been. And then also talk about this idea of procrastination, which I feel like is it seems so simple on the surface. But Megan, I think we have thoughts.
We have more to say. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll get into it. We are welcoming back Lion Rock Recovery as a sponsor today. Lion Rock provides outpatient treatment options for people dealing with drug or alcohol issues, and they do it all online, which is really amazing. It turns out only 10% of the 20 million Americans struggling with substance use get help, and a big part of that is it's not easy to put life on hold for an inpatient program, especially when you're a parent. Research shows that outpatient treatment like Lion Rock provides is just as effective as inpatient treatment. Their sessions are conducted by video conference, and they offer flexible schedules for moms who are busy with little ones during the day. Making that first call is one of the hardest things, so they have a few easy ways to get started. You can schedule a free phone consultation, take a free quiz at their website, or even live chat with one of their admissions counselors.
Yeah, they make it really easy to get started, which I think is nice.
Yeah, it's just getting over that kind of initial roadblock. I also love that if Lion Rock isn't the right solution for you, they'll direct you toward local resources, so you're not going to worry about a hard sell. Go to lionrockrecovery.com/mom to check out a special page they created just for our listeners. And once you're there, everything is completely private and secure. We won't know that you're visiting that page. You can explore in a way that feels comfortable to you. Again, it's lionrockrecovery.com/mom.
So Sarah, after a long growing out process, you know I have finally reached legit long hair status, right?
Ooh, yay!
It's made me a lot more intentional about what I use on my hair. I definitely don't want to strip it or dry it out, but I also don't want to use products that weigh it down. So I'm really excited about our new sponsor, Briogeo. Briogeo is clean hair care with no harsh chemicals, sulfates, or silicones. And all Briogeo products are built on what they call the Nova Complex, which is natural oils, vitamins, and antioxidants. So Briogeo offers a complete line of texture-specific products and simplified regimens that take the guesswork out of mixing and matching formulas. It's really easy to find a custom routine to either volumize, repair, defrizz, care for your curls or nurture your hair depending on your needs. And my needs are less frizz because I have a lot of texture in my hair. And especially when it's humid out, it gets very frizzy. So I am in love with the Farewell Frizz Blow Dry Perfection and Heat Protectant Cream. It's really nice. It smooths your hair really nicely after shampooing, but then it doesn't weigh it down or leave it coated like some serums and creams do. I'm also loving the Scalp Revival Charcoal and Biotin Dry Shampoo. So, you know, on our recent Perfect Things episode, I was just talking about how I could not find the perfect dry shampoo, but now I think maybe I found it. So the Briogeo Dry Shampoo truly goes on like a powder. It's not a spray. So it absorbs really fast and it doesn't create extra weight and it doesn't build up on my roots.
Oh yeah, that does sound perfect. And I also loved the Farewell Frizz, and I also have a frizz situation going on in the summertime. So that was a great one.
We have both suffered frizz together.
Yes.
So in addition to being free of sulfates, parabens, phthalates, silicones, DEA, and synthetic color, Briogeo products are cruelty-free and most are vegan and gluten-free as well. To learn more about Briogeo's complete line of hair care products, visit briogeohair.com and take their hair quiz to build your own custom regimen. Once you've figured out the products that are right for you, we have a special deal just for our listeners. You're going to get 15% off any purchase when you use our special promo code MOM at checkout. That's briogeohair.com. briogeohair.com. Use our exclusive promo code MOM and you're going to save 15% off any purchase of Briogeo's customized hair care solutions. Thanks to Briogeo for sponsoring the show.
All right. So as I mentioned, we are recording this on my first day of non-summer, but Megan, remind everybody, like, you have 3 weeks left. Like, you're still in it.
Yeah. Well, we've got two full weeks, like, okay, 2.5 weeks. So we start back right after Labor Day.
Okay.
So it's like the end of, I guess, week one, and then week two and week three, and then I'm back. So yeah, this is always the time of year where I look back and go like, what happened?
Yeah.
The summer, what did that really happen?
Yeah.
Did we have a whole summer? And it's pretty much over for me too.
Yeah. Even my kids said that this one went by really fast. And I just had a real sense of that this year. Like, actually all of 2019 has kind of gone scary fast. And mm-hmm. I'm just acutely aware of that.
Sunrise, sunset, really, the older they get, the faster it goes. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. I know. And you're supposed to like know all these things because it's such a cliche. But then when it hits you for real, it's like, right. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just kind of talk through just a couple of fun highlights. One big highlight for me was right in the middle of the summer, smack dab, I got a new niece. My sister had her second baby. They live in Kansas City. We actually recorded an episode from there, so I mentioned it. But I got to go out there when she was 8 days old and just play auntie for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. They moved there semi-recently and have a beautiful house and now two girls under two. And I don't know, there's something, I think because of doing this podcast and feeling like we have so many listeners in that phase of, you know, baby and a toddler, it's so yeah. fun to like really see it up close and see my sister, and baby is super healthy and doing really well. And so it was just really fun. I don't have oodles and oodles of nieces and nephews like you do, Megan. So it still yeah. seems like, oh my gosh, like this is like, this is cool. So that
and
was
you sent some really funny pictures from like, from the experience of jumping back into newborn and toddler yes. land at the same time, which I thought were very funny.
No,
it reminded me of that.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's kind of the best of all worlds, right? Because I got to sleep like 8 hours a night, but
right.
but still remember what that was like. And so that was really fun. Another highlight, and I will call it a highlight that I will mention just recently, was last week was the last full week of summer because we started midweek this week. And my oldest was at sleepaway camp and my middle did a all day, like 9 to 4 Lego camp. So it was just Violet and me. And I had the worst attitude going into this week. And we were coming off of our 2 weeks off,
yes,
right? So I was coming yeah. back from vacation, very motivated to like get the house back in order, get ready for back to school, all of this stuff. And I looked at the calendar and realized it was just me and the 6-year-old all day, every day. And so for those, and this is nothing against her, but she's just a high energy, like she needs a lot going on and she needs a lot of social, like, input feedback. So I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do all week? And so Sunday night, instead of, as I had my pity party about it, I decided to make it into like Camp Mommy. And I planned one fun thing each day. And I made her this little book. And she was thrilled. Like, she really thought it was the most fun thing ever. And my only goal was like, if we have one fun thing to look forward to each day, then I feel better about saying,
she'll leave me alone the rest of the
kind
time.
Of. Yes.
I mean, it's so genius because it made her feel amazing and excited, but it got you exactly what you wanted.
Exactly. And it made me feel less guilty to say, no, you need to play independently just for this hour. And, you know, midweek, Brian said, so are you getting a lot done? And I was like, no, I'm getting exactly the same amount done that I would have, which is really realistically maybe 2 hours of my own time per day, but it's without the guilt and the stress. And we did some really fun things. We saw The Lion King. We went to the Cat Cafe. We went on a picnic.
Clara was so
day.
Jealous about the Cat Cafe.
Oh my goodness. So fun. Well, you guys have your own Cat Cafe in your house, but
I know, but there's just one cat. They want more cats.
Oh, yes.
They want all the cats.
All, like 9 cats in a room. So anyway, that I just count it as like kind of a highlight because it very easily could have been a really crummy last week of summer. And it was still hard. I mean, the finish line of summer is hard if you're a working mom, but it was made just that much better. And I think she had a fun time. So those were a couple highlights for us.
I was very impressed. It was genius of you. Good job, Mama.
So how about you?
Yeah. So my whole first half of the summer was kind of, I don't know. Look, first of all, the weather here has been doing this thing. And I don't know if I'm misremembering past summers or if it really has been different, but I feel like June has just kind of been like rainy and cold the last couple of years. So the kids are out of school, but it just doesn't feel summery yet until July. Mm-hmm. So I was directing Newsies for the children's theater around here, and that was cool, but that ate up a lot of time in June that I didn't really miss because like I wasn't going to go to the beach really. You know, there wasn't like a lot of that kind of weather. So that worked out really, really well. And then as soon as Newsies was over, I had that concert where I got to perform 3 songs by Blondie.
Oh, yeah.
And that was so amazing. I mean, that was such a fun experience. So I got to perform in this really cool little venue that does a lot of professional acts. And then I also got to perform in this big stage right down on the beach. Like it's the pavilion, like overlooking the channel. So like big boats are going in behind me and it's like the wind is blowing my hair.
Oh my gosh, and the picture from that is amazing. So was everyone there like covering a different artist? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So it was 10 female singers all representing a famous female artist. Okay. So like Bonnie Raitt, Heart. I sang back up on Bonnie Raitt. That's why I remembered that one. And then let's see who else. It was just a whole Gloria Estefan. So it's like a really diverse group. Aretha Franklin. The concert's called Respect, so Aretha is always represented, but then there's always, like, the other ones kind of swap in and out. And so I was Blondie, and it was just so fun. And it almost rained out. Like, there was rain. It was, like, 95 degrees. It was terrible, and we were all worried, like, how are we going to do this concert and not die? And then it rained really hard for, like, an hour, and then they had to delay it by about a half hour. But then when it started, it was beautiful.
Oh,
like,
that's awesome.
Just so nice. And then we were actually all like, I had bought a bunch of those little battery operated misting fans, but we didn't use them because by that point it was hot. And the kids got to come see it and they were excited about that. So that's nice.
Did you have like a really good sound system? Like you're just like,
oh my gosh. And
it.
The band was amazing. It was like an 8-piece band with horns and stuff. And I've never really, like, I've done a lot of musical theater. And I've done a couple concerts where I'm singing with like a guy and a guitar and maybe a drummer, but I've never been backed up by a band. Like it was actually kind of terrifying. Like we had a half hour rehearsal just to work out entrances, exits, and harmonies. That's it. That's the only rehearsing I got with the band. And I just hadn't ever had that.
Yeah.
Like they're all behind me. I can't see them, you know?
But also isn't their job kind of like... their job is to go with you.
With me.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm just not used to that.
No, I know.
So it was like, it was hard because, and I did kind of realize like there was one part where I consistently kept jumping in ahead and the band leader was just like, look over at me. He's like, so I looked over at him and he's just kind of subtly shaking his head like, not yet. And then he kind of like nods at me and I'm like, okay, it's my turn to go. So it was just a great experience that I hadn't gotten to have. So that was really fun. And then that kind of, that ended like the Megan doing fun theatrical and performance stuff portion of the summer. And then since then, we've been into like the outdoorsy doing stuff part of the summer. So then right after that, my whole family went up to the Upper Peninsula. And by my whole family, I mean both of my brothers and my sister and most of the kids. Mm-hmm. So there were 20 of us up there, I think.
I love it.
And we all camped for like 5 days up in the UP. And so we got to go to Munising, which is where I was born, and go to Pictured Rocks. And then we hung out at this fun campground that had like amazing numbers of wild blueberries, and the girls were just So there was like five little girls and five teenage boys running in packs all over the campground. And like the boys all went and played pool in the bar because the bar was, there was nobody in there during the day. So they would let the kids come in and play pool. And the girls like made movies and like scripted movies and picked blueberries.
I love it.
Basically the entire time. It was really fun. It was, the trip was, I mean, of course I had fun with my siblings, but it was really more, you know, I slept in a tent for most of that time. It was, wasn't like I was glamping or anything like that. And I like to sleep in tents, but it's a totally different thing when you have that many people to like manage and feed. And, you know, so there was a lot of moving parts and we were doing a lot of sightseeing, but I'm actually, I had so much fun, but in that, like, we're, there's so much happening kind of a way that I'm going back by myself at the end of the summer. So I'm going to go back up and do like another 4 days just by myself.
It sounds like it's just so beautiful.
It's so beautiful up there. And it's just, it's where I was born and it's where I lived most of my life till I was, you know, 13. And so like, I just feel much affinity for that area. It's crazy. Like there's a highway up there that first of all, there is no cell service like for much further than I'm used to. That I haven't probably experienced that kind of lack of cell service anywhere except Big Sur. And when I drove, what's that? Is it Highway 1?
Yeah.
Like Big Sur, I want to say there was no cell service for like most of the higher elevation of that trip. That's it. Like I can't compare it to anything else. So there's no phone. You can't check a map. Like you can't call anybody if someone gets lost. And then like, all of the gas stations have old gas station pumps for like the ones that are above the ground.
Yeah.
And the old timey pumps that like you, they don't take credit cards. You have to look and see how much gas you pumped and then go tell them
inside
because they don't have any way to know. It's just, it was just like walking, like stepping back,
back in time.
That's amazing. In a way.
I love it. Well, I was going to ask, is there anything new that you did or tried this summer? And if that's putting you on the spot, I will remind you of something new that you did this summer.
Oh, okay. That is because... I don't know what it was.
It has to do with your hair.
Oh, I cut bangs in my hair.
This is big.
It is big. And I've been living with bangs. I did it right before the concert, actually.
Yeah.
I wanted a different look. And Blondie always had bangs. And I've honestly had the same hair now since I've been growing it out. So it's been a long time. And I just felt like it was time for a change. And so, yeah, I love them. They are goofy. I loved how you sent me that supportive text of concern when I was camping. And you were like, I'm just... really concerned about your bangs.
Well, you did it like, yes, you did it before the concert and you had, you know, a full blowout and then you were styling your hair and wearing like bright red lipstick every day for like a few days. And then we went on vacation, you went camping and you and I, we don't have the exact same hair, but our hair has some similar qualities. We both have natural wave and curl. We both have a lot of volume if we need to. And I am picturing like if I cut bangs, I have a lot of curl around my face anyway.
I'm
picturing like if they're not straightened and styled, if I'm in the woods, it would be so bad. And so I did. I was like, I need to know what the camping bangs situation is like.
I sent you some photos. What I have found with my bangs is I do need to wash them every day. I don't just wet them down. I wash them and start over. And that takes all of a minute to wash them and then a minute to blow them dry.
Wait, do you like stick your head in the shower? I'm confused.
No, I actually stick it in the sink. I just get a little shampoo in my... Sometimes if I'm like taking a bath and not washing my hair, I'll just... put it under, like literally under the faucet. So like under the, I just use a little shampoo and that's it. And then I blow dry the, my stylist told me to blow dry them straight up until they're about 90% dry and then blow them down
because
otherwise they'll be too flat.
Yeah.
And they turn out pretty well. Now they're a little long. I need to go get them trimmed. So I'm pushing them over to the side. But when I wake up in the morning, they are curly every day. And I just, I just deal with them until I'm ready to...
Get ready for you can always do a, like a headband or like a little clip or something.
But I really haven't had to. It's been fine. And it hasn't been, people did give me a lot of like, oh boy, I don't know if you're going to, you know, you might regret that. And I really have not.
No, so. They look super cute. You, I mean, it looks so good. We'll post a picture. Well, this is like not even related, but something that was new for us this summer. I didn't mention our big family trip was to San Francisco and just the five of us. And we did all the touristy things. And it was really the first time we've done something like that, where we're truly exploring a touristy location as a family, not going there to see anybody or anything. But the new thing was that we could take Ubers as a family all around. And I mean all around, because Violet still rides in a booster at home, but she's fine for an Uber ride. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is fine. And there are five of us, so we would have to get the, I always say Uber and I use Lyft. So sorry, Lyft, I should be giving you credit. I call the Lyft, it's the Lyft XL. So we get the one with the third row, but it felt so cool. It just felt so free to be, to bop around a big city or to and from the city in the suburbs. And we were staying with friends for free. So we, you know, felt like we had a little bit of cash to spend on transportation. So we didn't bother parking. We didn't like do any of that. We just took cars around, Lyfts and Ubers around the city, like free people. And it was totally new, and it felt as amazing as you think it would. If you've been having car seats and strollers and boosters for 12 years, it feels pretty cool. So that was,
I love that.
That was new for us.
That's like one of those parenting milestones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Being able to navigate a big city. It's like the first one is navigating a big city without a stroller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then actually being able to do an Uber is pretty big.
Yeah. It just gave us so much flexibility for what we could do. And the staying power of the kids is also just much longer than it used to be. I would say they can go as long as we can. I mean, when we were tired at the end of the day, we did two city days of different attractions and stuff where we left the house where we were staying at like 7:30 or 8 in the morning and got home at 5. So we were tourists for that long, and the kids, you know, they did great. So that was it makes me like my wheels are spinning of like the places I want to go and just what we could do as a family. And so if you're in the phase of little kids, it seems like a long time, but you will get there. And I'm glad we didn't try it with a 3-year-old. I'm glad that 6.5 feels like very, it's like this was the right time to do this kind of a trip. So, yeah. Yes. All right. So on the parenting front this summer, do you have any particular highs or lows, wins or fails, anything?
It's been pretty steady, I would say. One of the things I did intend to do this summer and I have done was I wanted to get all the kids out individually. Well, the younger three out individually with me to do something outdoorsy. And I've done that. I've gone kayaking with them. And Owen and I went to this like kind of remote lake, and it was really cute to see how cute and kind of disturbing, honestly, to see how hard of a time he had with the fact that like, like it was just like there was nobody around, and we had to kind of the way into the lake is a little odd. Like it's like this marsh thing you almost come through. So it's kind of like off the beaten path and you can't see it from the road. And he's like, are we going to get in trouble? Like it was just this idea that like he didn't really quite know how to deal with nature when it wasn't like delivered to him on a silver platter with instructions. But it was fun. And I'm glad that I got to do that. And I think I have a chance now to maybe even do a little bit more of that for the next, you know, I've still got a couple weeks to go.
Nice.
So I guess that was a win.
That is totally a win. Well, I talked about Camp Mommy, which was really me, like my final push toward good parenting. The struggle was the opposite of that. The beginning of the summer, I went in a little overconfident, I think, about how much I would be able to get done during just the lazy summer days at home. We are shifting into like full-blown tween preteen who isn't as interested in playing with the youngers. I mean, she's always been she really honestly likes playing with her siblings. It wasn't like, hey, do me a favor and keep them busy for an hour. Like it just happened naturally the last couple years. And so of course that has a shelf life. Like I knew that, but you don't really know it till you test it. And so going in, I just remember texting you, Megan, and the first full day of summer. And I said, I feel like I'm end of summer mom. And it's the first day.
Yes.
And so there was more struggle to get done what I needed to get done with the kids home, but that was broken up by a lot of trips and fun things. So it wasn't too bad, but I'm just acknowledging that it was harder than previous summers. Previous summers, I've been worried about it and it actually turned out better than I thought. And this summer I went in overconfident and it was harder. But I think we had lots of parenting wins as well. Sent one to sleepaway camp for the first time. That was really great. We didn't do as great about the nature though. I have to, now hearing you say that, I'm like, I need to wait. Summer is hard here because we have good weather all year round. So that might need to be a fall resolution.
You don't have to cram it all in.
Right.
Pressure to get it all done in like a 2-month period.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's take a break. And then in the second half, we're going to talk about this whole idea of procrastination. I'm excited.
Me too. So these days we know that careers aren't static. So many moms move in and out of the workforce as their kids grow. And just as a general population, we're so much less likely to stay in the same career field for our entire working lives than maybe our parents or our grandparents' generations were. So that's why we are excited to partner with the University of California Irvine's Division of Continuing Education, or DCE. UCI is a well-established school already with a great reputation, and their DCE combines that high quality with convenient ways to learn so that when you're ready to make a change or just develop new skills, you can get started from home on your own schedule. So UCI offers courses and certifications in everything from business, education, and healthcare to digital marketing, paralegal studies, human resources, and more. The Division of Continuing Education program offers over 60 certificates and specialized studies programs on campus, and this is the great part, online. This is the best part for busy moms, you guys. UCI offers 100% online courses that offer a real immersive online classroom experience and collaboration with your peers, but then they also offer the flexibility and convenience that moms need.
I love that you can use these UCI continuing education classes to help re-enter the workforce after some time at home, gain some new skills, maybe to help your side hustle, or even get transferable credits toward your master's while the baby sleeps.
Yep, and you can get started as soon as this fall because registration is open now. Visit ce.uci.edu/momhour and enter the mom hour for 15% off one course. Again, that's ce.uci.edu/momhour and then enter the mom hour and they're going to give you 15% off one course. This offer is only valid until December 31st, 2019. So get on it now, guys.
It's that time of year, everybody. School is starting and activities are ramping up in our house. If your goal is to cook at home during the week, but you're having trouble getting to the grocery store and end up in the drive-thru more often than you'd like, we want you to check out our sponsor, HelloFresh, where you'll get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door so that all you have to do is cook and enjoy. HelloFresh makes serving cooked meals to your family really simple. They send you everything you need, the ingredients all pre-measured, and the instructions broken out step by step to get a great dinner on the table in around 30 minutes. It's almost like having a personal grocery shopper and a sous chef so that you get to jump in and look like the hero in a fraction of the time.
One of our family's favorites is the balsamic fig chicken breast. So chicken breasts are like a staple around here, and these are simple, but there's this balsamic fig sauce that you make and put over the chicken, which just elevates it a little bit, and it makes it feel really special.
Yeah, we like that one too. Well, the cool thing is HelloFresh knows that busy seasons come and go, and as moms, we need flexibility. So they let you change your delivery days, update your food preferences, even add on extras like garlic bread or cookie dough, and you can always skip a week whenever you need. So give it a try this fall. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/themomhour80 and enter the mom hour 80. Again, for $80 off your first month, go to HelloFresh.com/themomhour80 and enter the mom hour 80.
Oh, sorry, Sarah. Just taking a LaCroix break in the middle of recording, which we don't have to cut out anymore because we're working with them as a sponsor today.
I mean, is this like a dream come true for you, Megan?
It's pretty much. It's just mixing business and pleasure. I love it.
Well, you guys already know how much we love LaCroix over here, and we are not alone because it's America's top-selling branded domestic sparkling water. But what you might not know is that they recently updated their product labels to comply with new federal regulations. So even though LaCroix is all about the zeros, zero calories, zero sweeteners, zero sodium, the label will now specifically state that each product is Whole 30, non-GMO, and produced without a BPA liner on that can.
Well, I love that, but let's be honest. It's about the taste, right? I am obsessed with LaCroix. I used to be a soda drinker because I love fizz and I love flavored beverages. But who wants to suck down artificial flavors and sweeteners and sugar all day? I have to say, since making the switch to LaCroix a few years back, I hardly even think about soda anymore. It's like this subtle grown-up fizzy flavor. It just scratches the soda itch and then some.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I was actually never a soda drinker. And the only time I felt like I was missing out is on like hot afternoons when that cold can in your hand just sounds so refreshing. And I didn't have soda to turn to. So now with LaCroix, I keep my favorite flavor, grapefruit, in our extra fridge in the garage. And I grab one when I get in the car in the afternoons. And it is just the best.
I'm really excited about the new additions to the Nick Cola line. You know, I thought cola flavored LaCroix would be weird, but all I can say is it's actually weirdly awesome. And now they've added coconut cola, cubana, which is mojito, and coffea exotica, which is like a coffee and cola. Again, these don't contain caffeine, alcohol, or sugar, just naturally essenced flavors. I can't wait to try them.
All right, come on, guys. Get on board with us and LaCroix. You can join their community on social at LaCroix Water. That's LaCroix Water. And for more information and a list of where you can pick up some LaCroix for your afternoon refresher, visit LaCroixWater.com.
Okay, let's talk about procrastination, which is something we are so familiar with that we waited till the second half of the show to talk about it. I guess I want to hear like how it manifests for you. Like, how do you know that you're procrastinating at all? Or like, what does it look like in your life?
So I think I'm the very sneaky kind of procrastinator. And I'm sure there are others out there like this, because a hallmark of my procrastinating is that it looks like productivity. Mm-hmm. So I know when I'm procrastinating, when I am getting all kinds of random stuff done that don't even yet need to be done. And so my to-do list gets long and achievable, right? Because for me, what feels valuable is like having stuff get done that's complete, mm-hmm. that's actionable. I like actionable things. And so the things I tend to procrastinate are things that have fewer boxes to check. So it usually means it's a bigger creative project, or it's a project I don't know how it's going to go. So there's a lot of unknowns, or it's something where I don't know how to break it into small steps. So even beginning feels overwhelming. And I think, I mean, that's pretty consistent of a lot of procrastination. But I think for me in particular, for example, a lot of people will say that they put off making doctor's appointments or getting their oil changed or, like those types of things. I do not procrastinate those types of things. Those are my bread and butter, because when I can fill my to-do list with those types of things, I can tell myself that I'm too busy to do the big thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what it looks like when I'm procrastinating. It usually looks like manic.
You're doing a whole bunch of stuff.
It looks like productivity. It's just productivity that's misguided. And then I think what eventually happens is just overthinking or overblowing the thing that needs to get done. And we do this in our business all the time, like realizing, oh, like that actually just took 2 hours that I could have done and not felt so bad about. So I don't know. How about you?
I thought about this a lot actually, because I think I would always have assumed I'm a big procrastinator, and I do certain kinds of things I do procrastinate on. One would be something boring. Mm-hmm. So details, I do procrastinate on boring details. I'm the one who will put off making the doctor's, you know, not because I don't have any phone anxiety. It's nothing to look up a number and call a doctor's office. I'm not afraid of it, really. I just don't really want to deal with it. It's just like a dumb detail I'd really rather not do.
Yeah, it's not exciting.
It requires that I go find the insurance card. Like, there's all these stupid little steps that are all kind of boring at the mm-hmm. same time. It's just a lot of like all boring stuff happening at the same time. So I do tend to put those things off. Or if it's a project that's like too big and it doesn't have a clear beginning, like I don't exactly know how to get started. And mm-hmm. I really like to take things on that are a little over my head. Like I'm drawn to that. I'm oriented that way. But sometimes it's like I've bitten off more than I can chew plus like 10%. Mm-hmm. And then I have a really hard, like I'm circling and I don't quite know how mm-hmm. to get started. So those are the two times I tend to do it, but the way it manifests for me is I want to do something. I want to start a new project, something more fun, something more sexy, I guess. Or I do nothing. I blow work off. I escape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I decide it's time to watch a movie or go out to eat or something like that. Like that would be another, and I can do a lot of that. Like I can do days in a row where I just keep like not doing the things I need to do because I've suddenly found something much more fun and exciting to do. So that's how it looks. Now, sometimes I'm actually not procrastinating and it just looks like I am. So sometimes I'm just not ready to start. Yeah. Like sometimes I really need more time to percolate on something, especially if it's big and there's a lot of brain work going on, mm-hmm. but I don't have a thing to do yet. Sometimes something else really is a higher priority. And sometimes I just don't. Like sometimes it's just too soon to start. And I sometimes beat myself up a little bit, like calling that procrastination when really what it was me maybe mentally or even outwardly committing to something that I wasn't ready to start yet.
No, I'm so glad you said that. That was like the first bullet I think that I wrote in the outline is I do this too. And it really helps to just know the difference and know that this is something that I am not going to start this thing until closer to the deadline because I don't need to. Nobody will be harmed in the putting off of this thing. And I know that it will get done. I think, I think back to college because I wrote a lot of papers and I had many, many times where that deadline stress felt almost unbearable. Like it's not a good feeling, but yet I somehow internally knew the difference because I never let it go too far. It always got done and it was always good enough. I mean, I'm not always 100% my best work, but it never killed me. And so I think at a certain point, there are certain things where it's helpful to be like, no, this isn't procrastinating. I'm just not going to do this until the night before.
Yeah, like giving yourself permission. And I think one thing I've noticed about myself, and maybe this is a very human thing, I'm really bad at assigning the right level of urgency.
Yes, me too.
To things. So in my mind, everything I have to do is equally urgent. Mm-hmm. Maybe not equally, but like I give things that aren't urgent the same mental capacity, the same mental urgency sometimes as stuff that really does have to get done. And then it creates a lot of confusion because you're like, wait, you feel bad because you can't do everything in your head all the time. And you feel like you're failing when really what you're doing is delaying or prioritizing or just managing your time. Mm-hmm. It's just a mindset shift. Agreed. Of looking at it differently.
Agreed.
So, you know, Gretchen Rubin's Better Than Before. I had never read it. And that's her book about personal habits. But I picked it up at the library last week. And
it's good, right? It goes fast.
It's good. Like it's,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like it because it's very practical. Yeah. And I'm already seeing a lot of things that I can kind of relate to in it. And I'm really interested in, you know, the whole idea of habit forming and stuff like that right now. Habit forming, that sounds bad.
I'm going to get addicted.
I want to get really addicted to personal development. But it is all about the science of habits, why we form habits, how to create better habits, how to break bad habits, yada, yada. And procrastination comes up. And she draws a distinction between marathoners, sprinters, and procrastinators. And the distinction drawn is that marathoners plan the workload, they plan it out, they stretch it out appropriately, they plod along and they get it done ahead of deadline without stress. Sprinters purposely put things off right up to the deadline because they know that the energy behind that deadline, or they just know that waiting until the end will give them a better result. Like they don't need to start on it, or they're gonna have that energy rush if they wait. And then procrastinators, in the way she refers to them, are people who put it off but feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like they put it off, but then they feel stressed and it's not for the right reasons. And I honestly can be all three of those in the same day.
Yeah,
depending on the project.
I think I can too.
Yeah. So I can be procrastinating on something non-intentionally and feeling bad. I can be purposely putting something off. And then there might be something else where I look at it and go, I'll feel better about this project if I map out clear benchmarks and I work. When I'm working with other people, I tend to be more of a marathoner because other expectations come into play and I need to, you know, make it okay for other people. And when I'm working by myself, I tend to be more a sprinter or procrastinator. But it totally, I'm not like, I don't fit one identity.
I don't think I do either. You would think I would be a marathoner, but I don't. I am often right up against a deadline, and I always was. I think a lot. My wheels spin, and I'm good at creating project plans to break things down into chunks, but I am just as guilty as anybody else of coming right up against a deadline. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of a little mixed.
But isn't it funny how we think of that as something to be guilty for?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of lines of work where you have to, like, for a lot of writing work that's deadline driven, the deadline. And I even had this weird thing where I'd feel somewhat guilty about coming up against a deadline when the entire premise of the deadline was that it was super quick turnaround and there's nothing I could have done differently. Like that's just the nature of it. And I would feel like I was like letting my editor down because I was just getting started on something an hour before it was due or whatever. And I'm like, but that was the assignment was given to me yesterday.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't possible and they don't care. They just want it done.
Yeah.
So it's funny how our minds play tricks on us about it being a bad thing to not work early and work ahead when that's not sometimes what the system is intended to do.
You know what I do sometimes, which is funny, is I think the reason I feel like I procrastinate is because I often can see the trajectory of what needs to be done very clearly and sooner than a lot of other people. I'm really good at like envisioning everything that needs to be done. So then when I don't work backwards, it feels like I could have. Like I could, like I knew how this was all going to play out and I still left it to the last minute. So it feels like procrastinating. But I will also do a thing where I decide it's too early to do something. And I totally do this. And this is like, I don't know if it's a Enneagram one thing. It's got to be exactly the right amount of ahead of time. But like back to school is a good example. You know when the first day of school is. You know there's going to be sales. There's going to be uniforms you got to buy. You got to do the things. And like I, as much as I like to be ahead and as much as I know that day is coming, I don't like to do shopping and certain things until a little bit closer because it feels like too soon. I don't. And the same like holiday shopping, you would think I would be the type of person to do it well ahead of time. And I'm not. It feels like it's too soon and I can't explain why. So maybe I like that little bit of tension or something.
That's so funny because for me, it would so never occur to me to like holiday shop really super far ahead so that if I by accident did, I would be like so proud of myself.
Right.
I'd be like, wow, do you see what I did there? But it just, I don't see the, I call it like, or the way I describe it is there's this like nebulous cloud above my head. So that's what a project looks like. And I'm grabbing and I can't grab onto it. And then finally I can grab a piece of it and like pull it down.
Right.
And that's the piece I can jump in on. And sometimes that is not the first step. That is like the seventh step.
Yeah.
And then I have to kind of reach back up into the cloud again. And grab the next thing and pull it down. So it doesn't, unless someone else creates the plan for me, it often won't make any sense on the outside, which means things don't necessarily come together the way they like would make sense to a differently organized brain. I think that's also the reason I tend to be more of a marathoner when I'm working with other people because someone else does the work of creating the plan. And then it's like a relief.
Yeah.
All I have to do then. Someone told me what to do. All I have to do is do that thing.
And you, I will say, as someone who works with you on long-term projects, you are incredibly fast and efficient and responsive because you don't require, like you don't, if I tell you this is the next benchmark, you will just do it. Mm-hmm. And I think I can tend to get stuck thinking, well, is this the next benchmark? Like, should I do, like, yeah. Should I make another spreadsheet and think about it some more? So yeah, I would agree. Like you're a really good marathon partner because you work well with those benchmarks, but maybe you're not the one to see them.
I'm not usually the one to see them.
Yeah.
It really stresses me out trying to create structure around a big project and what I'm doing. But I love when it's there because then I can just do what I'm good at, which typically, like you said, I work really, really fast, but that's because my brain has been already like chugging along in the background for so long on something. That when you just tell me what to do, I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. And then I'm just like crazy. And I just get it done like the Tasmanian devil and then I move on. So it is just interesting. It's one thing that's super challenging about being a solo entrepreneur with either of those brain types, right? Because you would probably
I would do nothing.
Well, you would just probably go in a circle.
Yeah.
Like you'd be like, that worked that one time. And then you would just kind of continue to do that thing over and over. Whereas I would just like, I know, cause I did this until I hired you. Like I would be just boing, 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 like jumping, you know, way back in 2012 or whenever it was, that we first started working together. Yeah. I realized that like with so many moving parts and things like balls in the air, they were just smacking me in the face and they didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious. Do you remember what kind of procrastinator you were like in high school, college? Like, can you see the through line or do you think it's you've changed and matured?
I was definitely one to put off projects till the last minute. But I think for the reasons I just stated, rather than like, I wouldn't fill that time with other things. It wasn't like I filled that time with other productive things. I just spent a lot of time staring out windows and daydreaming and then being like, oh crap, I have a project due. I was better at completing big projects than I was at completing homework. I had a terrible track record with homework. It seemed insignificant.
Yeah, and I didn't see that.
I had a really hard time. Well, all teachers have a very different attitude about homework. And some, it was kind of like not mandatory.
Right.
Sometimes you could get away with not really doing it. And I think I was never very good at really looking at like at the syllabus and going, oh, okay, so homework is going to make up 30%. So that means that if I miss an assignment, it's going to ding my grade this much. And like, I was terrible at that. I couldn't put all those pieces together.
Right.
And so one thing I was really bad at in school was being strategic about success. Like that's the best students, I think, are the ones, and I'm putting best in quotes here, the ones who look most successful, I think often are the ones who can look at the syllabus, break it all down and figure out exactly what they have to do to deliver. And I'm bad at that in every walk of life. Yeah. Like, I'm not strategic at all in that way. Mm-hmm. I'm strategic about other things, but not in a way where I go, oh, this is what's required. How do I work the system? Mm-hmm. I like to create my own systems.
Yeah.
And I think the systems that exist are junk half the time. So that doesn't work in school.
Yeah.
It made me not a very good student, frankly. No. But I don't think I've changed a whole lot. I think I've gotten better at workarounds.
Yeah.
And knowing myself. How about you?
I think I felt a lot guiltier about procrastination than I do now. Now, like we say, I've either decided it's intentionally a sprint or it's just, I don't beat myself up. I think I used to really think that I needed to be better about this. Another thing is I think in high school, things were really pretty easy academically for me in the school I was in. So I got into habits of procrastination that then didn't really serve me very well in college. I think I was really bad for procrastinating studying, at least with a project or a paper. Like, you knew you had to have some stuff on the paper the day before. Like, you had to start at some point. But studying felt so nebulous for finals and stuff that I was terrible about starting early or, like you said, breaking it down. And I think study groups, like having other people around me who were used to a more methodical process of studying for big exams and, you know, studying with people helped. But I think I had some pretty ingrained procrastination patterns in high school, in part because I got away with it and I still got really good grades by doing everything at the last minute. But then there's no life skills in that. And then also I think I carried more guilt about it, which also then trips you up. So I think in this area I have probably matured and I stress over it less, I guess. But
well, you get to know yourself better. Yeah. I mean, you can recognize what's really going on.
Yeah.
And not waste time on guilt and not stress when something doesn't require stress. Yeah. Not everything does.
This is like a whole other topic and we'll save it. But I think in a marriage, there's a lot like you have to get good at like knowing your partner's procrastination style and and like being almost like an asset or an ally to them rather than like a shamer. And Brian and I, like it works both ways. And I think we've gotten good at being like, hey, how can I help you do this thing that I've been waiting on you to do for 3 months, you know? And it goes both ways. But I think if you don't learn if you assume everybody's style is the same or everybody's like you, it can definitely turn into some guilt tripping, some passive aggression. Like it can be a whole thing. And it could be over as simple as like, calling the car insurance company back, which is what I procrastinated this summer. You got to learn to work within that.
Yeah. And yeah, like with any partnership or even with your kids, I mean, like, you know, helping, being truly helpful to them if their procrastination style is different and you don't understand it.
So how has that been with teenagers? Like, I'm assuming they all procrastinate at some.
Of course. Yeah. And they're all very different. And the way they do it perfectly suits their personalities. Mm-hmm. Will does not really seem to procrastinate, but I think if he did, it would probably be similar to the way you do. Like he's plotting is not the right word, but he's methodical. He's just kind of like, I do this and then I do this and then I do this and I want to make expectations. Mm-hmm. And this is the way I do that. So I don't see it with him as much because I don't think it doesn't manifest in a way that looks to me outwardly like procrastination. Owen will think something is dumb and he doesn't want to engage in it. Like he just thinks that the very assignment is dumb and that he could do it better. And so for him, procrastination looks like a lot of griping and it can become like him getting stalled out about, honestly, like this little thing that he wants to kind of dig in his heels about and he will let it go on a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I did have to have a conversation with one of his teachers and I said, this is just a power struggle. Mm-hmm. Like the only what's going on here is that he thinks he's right. And so you might just have to give him, you just might have to fail him on this assignment. Yeah. Like, I don't know what else. I've told him, if you want an A, do this. If you don't care about the A, do this other thing and you'll probably get a B or a C. But if you don't do it at all, you're going to fail. Right. So like, but he couldn't accept the doing it the way he wanted to do it and thought it was right to do wouldn't get him the A.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's just, I don't know what to tell you, son. Like, this is the way it works. Like, you can do it the way she's asking you get the A. You could do it your way and not get an A, or you could not do it at all and fail.
Yeah.
And the choice is yours. Like, I don't know why I can't have this conversation again. Clara procrastinates on stuff when she's anxious.
Yeah.
And it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very articulate. She'll tell me, I just can't get started because I'm anxious, which I love that she's bless so articulate.
Her. Yeah.
Yes. Bless her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about your kids?
You know, it's pretty early. It's so cute. Allegra has, she's the most aspirational about, she loves the idea. She's probably has some Megan in her maybe. She loves the idea of a project and has big ideas. So I'm thinking of a school project or an art project she wants to do. And it's always very grand. And I have to, as the realist, the pragmatist and the mother, I have to work really hard to have my first reaction not to be like, well, I know you're never going to do that. You know, I don't say that. I do offer to kind of help her break it into chunks that are manageable, and she will want, she sees that she needs to start early and do a little bit each day. And then it's just becomes like a staying on task or an execution thing. I think she'll probably do okay in that those are skills that hopefully we can help her learn. And she doesn't procrastinate out of anxiety, like you said, or, you know, she's good natured and has high ideals and aspirations, which is a good thing. She just struggles with the staying on task. And I almost feel like the other two, it's a little early to tell. But we know that Violet doesn't want to do anything just because we tell her. So it's gotta come, it's gotta be her idea. And it's gotta be something she wants. That's just how her personality is. So we'll see. And then I think academically, I know we're not just talking academics, but academically, this is going to be a real telling year for Reed. It's fourth grade. He started today and, very much turns to like longer term writing assignments and projects at our school, at least. And they give them a lot of resources, a lot of class time. It's not a lot of homework. Yeah. They do a lot of it in class, but he's very used to just being really smart and just being able to like take the test or do the thing and it's done. And so he's never really had to do longer term projects. And I think it will be interesting. I think it might be like a little bit like an Owen, like, why am I doing this?
Right.
Why am I doing this? And I don't want to, and it doesn't like,
I don't like the teacher's idea about it. I could do it better. Like there's that attitude.
Right.
So I think some of that has to just kind of be like learned out of them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So
sometimes they're not wrong.
Right.
Sometimes their idea is better, but oh well, like, you know,
He had a group project in third grade that it was one of those classics where you go to school and see everyone's projects and you can tell immediately who had much parental help, who had some parental help, and who, like, this group had no parental help. And it was like, I will have to find a picture. It was the most embarrassing thing to be called a trifold project I have ever seen. And luckily I'm not embarrassed about things like that because it's not my project and I'm not, that's not like, I just don't
care. Reflect on you.
It doesn't reflect on me. And I really don't want it to reflect on me, or I don't want anyway. So this, I think at some point in the next couple of years, he will realize like, okay, I don't want to have the most garbage project in the class. Cause I do care more than that. So what's that going to take? And what does that look like? So I think jury's out on that one.
You know, it's funny. I was just, this just popped into my head. I was trying to think when I was young, if I stressed about procrastinating or not. And I didn't stress, probably to an unhealthy degree, because I knew at the end I would always get it done, and I always did. And I think I recognized it as the way I do things until like maybe my sophomore or junior year. I had a paper that was assigned in a class. It was like a 3-page research paper. I knew I could do it in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Like I just knew this was going to be super easy. The topic was kind of fluffy. I don't exactly remember what it was, but so we still had like a week to go. I'm not even thinking about this thing yet. The teacher's talking about it every day. And at one point during class, she just goes, okay, so we're going to go around and everyone's going to tell me the topic of their paper.
Oh.
And it wasn't something I could BS. Like,
yeah, you just didn't
was
have it.
Canadian studies, I think, something like that. And it was supposed to be like a biological figure or biographical figure, sorry. And we go around to me and I was like, no, I don't have anything. So she says, stay after class. And then I got like, she really read me the riot act about it. And then she decided to pick, like she picked it for me, or she gave me like two choices, both of which were really lame. I think I ended up writing about the Royal Mounted Canadian Police, this like guy that was the leader. Anyways, I remember having a lot of shame around that and like feeling like I had failed and done really, really badly by not starting. And then I went home with the topic that she gave me. I went to the library, I checked out a book, and I wrote the thing in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So it played out exactly like I knew it would. But now there was this additional layer on top of it of like feeling like I screwed up before the thing was even due. And that has honestly stuck with me. And I don't know how I feel about it. Like, was it a useful thing for her to be like, look, this isn't going to fly. The older you get, you're going to have to start earlier. Or should I have been allowed to actually see that play out?
Yeah.
By actually failing and not having
her
kind of.
But you wouldn't have failed, right?
I wouldn't have. Not that particular one. Yeah. I might have failed on maybe a harder class. But like, I would have been totally fine. So it was like, she bailed me out, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would have been okay just figuring it out myself. So I don't know how I feel about that. That's the kind of thing I think about when I think about the way I help my kids or instruct them, or what I'm just going to choose to like kind of get on their backs about is, are you doing them a service in the end or not? And I don't know the answer necessarily.
Okay. Well, I have a real quick story that's like almost the flip side of this. When I was a senior and I was starting to slack off in high school, I was supposed to perform a skit from, or a scene, I think probably from Shakespeare, with like two other kids in my class. And we procrastinated learning the lines. And so I just didn't know them. And so I cut class, which, you know, wasn't very like me, but I would much rather have cut class. And I think
that sounds like torture, after, not knowing lines.
Oh my gosh, right? That's so much worse than like, and so I cut class. I wrote my own absence. We could excuse our own absences once we turned 18, which is really genius. I have a February birthday. And so I was 18 for a good whole semester. And you just like, I don't know, you just called in and excused your own absences. But somebody, I think like my group members were trying to cover for me, but like I was trying to buy us time. I honestly thought if I'm not there, we're automatically going to get a few more days and we'll get it done and we'll do well. And I got my AP English teacher, who I loved, called me out on the dishonesty factor. He was like, you should have just asked for an extension or told us you weren't ready, because this is so much worse. And so that's what I remember. And you know, that one probably was a pretty good lesson, because there's no shame in just saying like, I'm not ready for this. I need to either take a grade cut or I need an extension. And asking for an extension was like not a thing I would have done. So I cut class and I got
totally caught up. Well, and a lot of teachers will not allow extensions, but that's interesting because that's not the way the real world often works. And they'll be like, you know, when you're in the real world, you can't turn stuff in late at your job, or you can't ask for extensions. And I'm like, now that I'm an adult, are you kidding?
Yeah.
People do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time. I mean, we have to publish on a certain schedule. We can't just be willy-nilly, but how many jobs have you had in your life where a due date was pretty flexible? Mm-hmm. And if you really had to ask, you could get it. So I do feel like students often get this kind of false idea about what the world is like and to what degree you should bend over, you know, not saying like it's okay to procrastinate because people will just keep giving you more time, but like maybe it should be more okay to ask for more time when you really need it.
Yeah.
And it's the asking and like being honest and learning from it. Mm-hmm. If you put it off too long and now you have a choice to make, you either have to kind of make yourself like humble yourself by asking for more time, or you have to take the lower grade and like, that is the consequence.
And that's definitely what he definitely was like, I'm disappointed in you, but I want you to like, that was definitely what he was going for. Like he didn't want to let it slide because he, So that I think that was a good one in general, if I think back, but I definitely got busted. Well, at this point we are procrastinating wrapping up this episode.
We are. We're finding things to talk about, so it seems like we're being productive.
So if we just keep talking. So thank you to Kaylee and to Jamie and everybody who chimed in with episode ideas. If we didn't pick your idea, it's not because it wasn't great. In fact, I have a ton of good episode ideas for upcoming shows. It probably just wasn't something we could pull off.
Yeah.
At the 11th hour.
This was perfect for the 11th hour, so thank you.
All right. Well, we will talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you soon.